Welcome to the Broken Pencil Booking Company Pro Wrestling Podcast and Radio Show infused with hip hop. I am Wood.
Made daily. With organic, farm to table, localized, neuralized, sterilized, available on Amazon, shipped worldwide, not available on Sundays, but now available on thebeastradio.com. Broken Pencil Logic. You stay classy, internet. I'm Suave Burgundy.
I didn't know I was going to be here. Y'all caught me in the middle of drinking this delicious chicken broth. It is I, the Petty Messiah, and the big man, and the medium-sized man have got a show for you.
Not the hand clap, though. I heard a hand clap and a finger point.
Yeah, that was a snap, sir.
The wink and the gun.
The wink and the gun.
What's good, my people official. Weeples? What's happening in?
What is popping? What is going on? Salutations, greetings, and all that other good stuff.
So apparently, the great screenwriters that we know for our, not just our generation, but for two generations, Matt Stone and Trey Parker have called something. It's Matt Stone and Trey Parker. Who am I talking about? South Park. Yes, I'm referencing South Park. They've claimed that Canada wasn't a real country anyway.
Nope, not at all.
Wait a minute.
We're going to give you reason this show to understand why they are valuable to us. This is going to be a very fun show, but yeah, we're going to shout them out later on. But yo, Suave, what the deal, man?
You know what? I'm basking in the afterglow of Suavetoberfest and Super Suavetoberfest Plus being released on all digital streaming platforms.
To rave reviews.
Everywhere that music is played or distributed, whether that be free or for the fee.
Indeed. Joyous listening experience for all those involved. And if you haven't gotten involved yet, find it on your favorite digital streaming platform. Also hear it this Saturday on TheBeastRadio.com. 5 p.m. in place of the Broken Pencil Booking Company Pro Wrestling Podcast and Radio Show infused with hip hop. You will hear super Suavetoberfest plus. You dig? Now then,
plus.
Let's just go into some hot topics for this week. Today, Thursday, and December 3rd.
I'm not talking about the clothing store either.
No, not at all. Today is Thursday, December 3rd. Yev our Lord. I say Yev our Lord.
Yeah, of our Lord.
20 and 20.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
What's up with this delay? digital tech. We got to get over this COVID shit so we can get back to doing our regular 1-2 thing. You know what I'm saying? This is ridiculous. There, this scholarship fund there. Alberto Del Rio.
COVID, we hate you.
Indeed. Alberto Del Rio was arrested back in May on alleged aggravated assault and kidnapping charges, facing life in prison if convicted.
Alleged.
And this is could not be further than alleged. As of December the 1st, 2020, headline reads, ex-WWE star Alberto Del Rio released of sexual assault charges.
Well?
Yeah.
Well?
We're going to keep it 1,000. We owe that man an apology for this particular situation.
We that sorry, man was fam.
Accused. We drug him all the way through. We had that conversation, and turned out that it was some lies being put out there. Now, that's not me. Doesn't mean we're absolving him of anything else that has been said by anyone else. But in this particular situation,
he ain't do nothing.
We owe that man an apology.
Facts.
Now, sorry, fam.
According to the article on SportsWiki.com. The accuser's ex-girlfriend apologized to his family to his family for her quote-unquote mistakes. There's a post that was translated from Spanish which reads, an apology to the Rodriguez Del Rio family for the damages caused by my mistakes. His brother, Hijo de los Caras, went to Instagram. And here is a post that he had. Now, excuse the broken English because this is also translated from Spanish. Well, gang, as everyone knows, the truth always falls under its own weight. After so many months, finally, the garbage person who accused my brother of something totally false spoke with the truth, admitting her lie. And although she apologized in such a mean way, after all, that she caused my brother, already my family, both personally and professionally, I hope it serves so that those people who destroyed my carnal, or my carnal, opened their eyes, and so that those people who supported him and do not turn their back on him do justice, because in the end, he, like many other celebrities, was a victim of an advantageous and greedy person, like so many who abuse the reflectors and try to profit at the cost of whatever. The truth will set you free. Damn.
And you gotta let
his brother should be a writer of promos.
You gotta let that man talk his shit. You gotta let that dude handle his business.
And man, he had words to say. And he had them.
And better not stop him neither, because I mean, what you want me to do?
You know. So, best wishes to Alberto Del Rio in his future, because it's looking to be brighter than it did. You know, 99 years is a long ass time, and. You know, we'd rather see you on this side of the bars than the other side. So,
I just want to see him put somebody in the arm bar again and watch them writhe and pain. Like Alberto Del Rio took something that should have probably got him buried and turned it into probably one of the greatest finishes ever. And he was just snapping on, just hit. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, that and those vicious kicks.
It's rough.
Yeah, man.
He is the only person that I've seen where a crowd turned on him as a face. In the middle of the match. Just because of how viciously he was beating a man into the ground. And then when
you
I say
what I'm saying?
They turned on Alberto Del Rio. Actually, Alberto, was it Del Rio? Yeah, Alberto Del Rio. They turned on him.
Yeah.
They turned on. For who?
It was a double. Nicky. Yeah, it was a double turn at that.
Right, I had to call him Nicky. I had to, man.
Nicky!
But Nicky, Alberto Del Rio is dope, and honestly, I hope he gets back on his feet. I want him to get back in that ring where he's ice cold. Because really, he's cold. He's a cold wrestler, dog. Can't take nothing away from him inside of the squared circle. Now, and all that other stuff,
and because man, Texas.
Texas.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm not quite ready to go there yet, but I am willing to apologize for this. I don't know about any of the other stuff, because Paige still has stuff that she says that happened and XYZ, and there's people that's been slapped and all kind of other stuff. Now,
he did duff somebody backstage for being a racist.
No. The guy he slapped for being racist,
he deserved
it. Fully in support of that. I'm totally in support of that, because you need to be able to handle the consequences of whatever comes out of your mouth.
When however,
you say something, you need to ride for it. Period. So I'm totally in favor of him slapping that guy, but there are other people who were supposedly have been slapped, or just it's a lot. And then the reason he got stabbed up was for some other shit. So you know what I'm saying? Like,
he got stabbed up.
Yeah, you remember when he got stabbed? When he
I do remember him getting stabbed.
Well, there's an alternate version of the story than the one that made the news.
Yeah, well, so that's an off the record conversation. We can't talk about that on air.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. We can't do that. That would make us liable.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
And very irresponsible. All right. So on the flip side, before we get too involved, hit him with the hashtags. We got Broken Pencil Logic, Mark My Words, With the Shit, Folk Life Shorty, Fuck the Casual Fan, and You Can't Write This. Those are our hashtags. You know what I'm saying? That show at BrokenPistolBC.com, BrokenPistolBC@gmail.com, and that's at BrokenPistolBC on what?
Everything.
Yeah. Like also, in the news, before we get too involved, because we got a nice little piece of business to talk about later. I know what you listen. If you're a wrestling fan, you know what happened last night. We know what you're waiting on. We're going to give it to you. Just sit tight. Just hold. I'm screwing this cat. You just hold the tail. Now, Vince McMahon.
Wait a minute.
Vince McMahon has allegedly.
Wow.
Back in the past, of course, allegedly offered the ninth wonder of the world, China, an opportunity at the WWE Championship. And all she had to do was say no to a particular project. That project was her posing nude for Playboy. And, I don't know how you feel about this, guys, but like, China getting the top belt in the business, if she says no to being the top star on the top publication around the world.
Well, here's the thing.
I've already heard the.
Here's the thing.
Well played, sir.
I've already heard a pretty reasonable explanation that makes all of this complete fluff. Like, none of this makes sense. One, because of the timeline involved. Two, because the list of champions that were actually championed during the time frame that this supposedly took place. And just some inside baseball about everything.
So the time frame in question is it's in terms of when she posed for Playboy. It was in 2000 when she was with WWE, and again in 2002 after she left WWE.
Okay, so this would have been the first time.
So the first time is what, 99?
The first time she posed.
2000.
First time she posed for Playboy was in 2000.
All right, okay. So that's 2000. Who's champ at this point in time?
It's a back and forth between The Rock and Kurt Angle. The Rock has like three title reigns in 2000, and then Kurt Angle has one.
So you're not finna take the belt off Rocky. You might let her pin Kurt, maybe. Nah,
not at but that time.
Isn't she already Intercontinental Champion at that point?
That happened right when Jeff Jarrett left. Cause she beat Jarrett. Jarrett said, "Okay, if you're gonna beat me on TV with her, then I need like I think it was like 125 racks."
Really?
So
oh yeah, he got paid off because he was at the end of his contract, and in order for him to drop the title, he wanted a lump sum of money. And then I think it because Jim Ross has told this story before.
Here are your list. I'm sorry. Here are your list of champions going back to November 14th of 99. Big Show. Triple H in January of 2000, The Rock at April of 2000, Triple H again in May of 2000, The Rock in June of 2000, Kurt Angle in October, and then he held it until The Rock took it back from him again in February of 2001. So those are your champions for the year 2000.
Okay, cool. What did Jim Ross say? Because I want to hear this story. I haven't heard this story.
So Jarrett's at the end of his contract. He's going to leave and go to WCW. He's still the Intercontinental Champion. So they want him to put China over on his way out. Technically, okay. Him making this date for that pay-per-view for the Good Housekeeping match was almost like a favor. He's like doing right. He doesn't necessarily have to be there.
Because his contract is probably already out like the day
it's
before.
Expired. Yeah. It's one of those CM Punk things. Like it's expired or all his dates are used up, whatever the case may be. So he says at one point, it's one number he pulls out of the sky. I want, you know, $100,000 or $150,000 to drop the title to her. Because basically because he's old school wrestling, he's looking at, I'm doing a job on pay-per-view on my way out to a woman. This
that I don't have to do.
That I don't have to do. This could ruin me. So he gave one number at one part of the day. Came back and they came back to him later and was like, you know what? I've thought about it. And then he doubled it.
And they still did it?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have a choice. It was either that or go to WCW with the Intercontinental belt.
Jeff Jarrett is a genius. He's done other things that may be questionable, but that right there, gangster.
Oh, no, that's a hustler move. And that's not the first time he's walked out on WWE either, because like, there's the famous story of the In Your House in 95 where Shawn Michaels wins the Intercontinental Championship from Jeff Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Jarrett and the Roadie, a.k.a. Road Dogg, are supposed to split right after that.
Right.
They both leave, don't do the angle, and just leave the company. Like, that's Jarrett. He's on his way. Yeah, straight up. He just walked out.
And mind you, we're talking about two families that have a
huge connection.
Understatement. A storied lineage in the wrestling industry, the Armstrongs and the Jarretts. So you're trying to tell people who have literally created territories that rivaled each other, you can safely say these two were childhood friends.
Oh yeah.
More than like
childhood friends. And you trying to make them do something that they don't have to do in the 90s?
They can go home. Look, and not even the hard, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get here. I'm going home.
Yeah, like your dad's still running shows in Memphis. You can get money.
I mean, I ain't going, hey, Pop, I'm going to be at the house on Tuesday, man. Just
tell me what you need me to do. This is 95, not 2005. It's completely different.
This ain't 90-day compete clause. This is, I will be on TV tomorrow, fam.
Because I want to say that's how Jared ended up in WCW. So, like, this might be the last of the Mohicans with the no-compete clause.
Right.
I mean, it should be told, I think that's more than 9 months.
Like, what's the first episode of Monday Night Raw? I mean, not Monday Night Raw, Nitro, where Luger shows up.
That was in 95.
Yeah, but what's the date?
Oh, the date? Let me pull it.
Now, we started this talking about China. So, and Wood brought up who was champion during that time frame.
Right.
September 4th, 95. I'm sorry. September 4th, 95, Labor Day. Go ahead.
September 4th, 95. Okay, side note, while Petey's giving us this knowledge, when did Shawn Michaels beat Jeff Jarrett for the Intercontinental title in 95?
Let's see here.
Probably around the same time.
Yeah, it's going to be close. It's going to be close. It's going to be close, I promise.
In your house, too?
August the 6th.
Was that type of shit. It's going to be real close.
You talking about in your house, too?
Was it in your house?
Has to be. I know it's in your house, so it's probably two.
Yeah, so that was July 23rd, 95. 6 weeks before.
Ha. You see? So he's the first. When he walked out, he went to WCW. He just didn't end up debuting. He might have went back to Memphis for a little bit. So the roadie ends up staying and going back to WWF, but Jarrett ends up as a member of the Four Horsemen in WCW not long after that.
That's not a bad spot to walk into.
I mean, it's not.
No one welcomes you. No one appreciates Jared as a horseman.
Benefited greatly from being a horseman.
I mean, think about it. You'll name Barry Windham and Lex Luger. I mean, Barry Windham deservedly so, but you'll name Barry Windham and Lex Luger long before you'll name Jeff Jarrett as one of your favorite. Hell, you'll name Dean Malenko before you'll name Jeff Jarrett as one of your favorite horsemen.
I didn't even realize Jeff Jarrett was a horseman. We're having this conversation today. Yep. You're never paid attention to, because the thing is, I never liked Jeff Jarrett. I didn't start like having a respect for Jeff Jarrett until I went back and was like, "Yo, this is you. Wow, I didn't know this about you, man."
How do we go from talking about China to having a screw Jeff Jarrett moment?
Because we absolutely know the story about China is garbage.
Yeah. Look, Vince was never gonna get. Look, see, he wasn't gonna pull a full Tessa Blanchard in 2000. Now, anyway, we hadn't gotten progressive enough for that to happen. We were lucky that we got her as the Intercontinental Championship, which was great because she actually would come out there and wrestle, and everybody loved it. Everybody felt good about it. But when you start looking at the back end of it, you start going like, I don't think that was the chick to go with. Even though, from a physical standpoint. Yeah, I mean, she was taller than a lot of the dudes they had on the roster at that point.
Biggest facts told there.
You know what I'm saying? And even when you put her in heels, how she was wrestling, like, she could actually come out there and pick dudes up and throw them around. It just depends on who would have worked with her. But I don't see her as the champion at that point in time. You know what I mean? Not then. Not with the way the climate was in the Attitude Era. Nah, she ain't gonna be the champion.
I mean, there's just too many things that seem to work as a contradiction to this idea that she was going to be champion. I think it would have been a cool idea, but you got to think about, that's 20 years ago. Right. We're just at the point now where you think that might happen. And there's only like one or two people that it would be believable with.
Give. Let's do a mixtape. Who would that scenario be believable with right now? Number one,
Charlotte Flair.
Okay, Charlotte Flair, I'll take her. I wasn't going to go with her with number one, but along the lines of the horsemen and horsewomen, I would say Tessa Blanchard.
That was going to be my other one, Rhea Ripley.
So Charlotte Flair, Tessa Blanchard, Rhea Ripley.
Tessa
Blanchard in this?
I did.
You did.
I did.
Nah, forget her. I never believed her when she won it the first time.
Her track record of men's heavyweight championship title runs speaks for itself. We ain't finna make that mistake again up here in Stanford.
Nah.
Or down here in Orlando.
Nobody's making that mistake.
Damn. All right.
And it's nothing against women as talent, because Chick Flair could really hold the belt. I believe Chick Flair can find a way to win, one, after the fortitude of her pops, two, because she can actually wrestle.
That part.
And she can probably out-wrestle a great deal of the dudes that's on the roster right now.
That part.
You know what I mean? So, and Rhea is pretty much Chick Flair. Just younger.
Australian Chick Flair.
You know what I'm saying? So, and if I put it, if I had to just dig somebody, let Nia get in there. I put Nia at three.
I like that. I like that only because I know what your motive is.
Yeah, you have ulterior motive, but other than that, I'm not finna tell this lie. Like,
I really want Nia to hurt people. Like,
hey, on the real though, give it a year. Jade Cargill.
No. She looks great. The mic skills aren't there yet.
No, I said give it a year.
I
didn't say right now.
You gotta be able to be good on the mic, and you gotta be able to be decent in the ring.
I mean, if you're
a heel champ, you gotta be able to take punishment. Nia's big enough to take punishment and big enough to dole it out. Chick Flair is big enough to take punishment and big enough to dole it out. Rhea is big enough to take punishment and big enough to dole it out.
I don't think you're gonna have a string of title defenses.
Nope. It's gonna be a lot of cheating to win. It's gonna be a lot of faking and shaking.
there has to be a contingency plan in place. I do not see any woman on this list, let alone just anybody else we add to it.
She gonna have to bad J&J security situation.
You're not finna come out and make title defenses like Brock Lesnar. It's not finna happen. You're not finna be
is not. Hey, the God MC is not finna walk with you out to this ring.
It's only so many Leon.
With you.
It's only so many Leon Ruffs and Drake Mavericks you can send out there. Like, you're not gonna be able to go over Drew 3 and 4 times a month. It's not
Drew is going because Drew is gonna lose it one night, and he is going to. He's going to kick you into the middle of next week, man.
Nah, you're going to have somebody like Randy who ain't going to lose it in the ring, going to lose it backstage. I'm not doing it. Find somebody
I'm not
else.
Doing, hey, I'm not doing the job for him. I'll RKO her and take the DQ, but what I'm not going to do is get pinned clean in the middle of that ring.
These people are vain enough to where they're like, you know what? All right, keep playing with me if you want to.
Randy Orton is all elite.
You fire me. Oh, that'll never happen after when he burned Kong on social media. He'll be in Japan for that.
I'll take Randy Orton as NJPW. I'll take it.
At this rate, Randy is a lifer to eat. Like, he's about to burn every bridge haphazardly because of what he did to Khan on Twitter. Yeah. So shit.
You will never see the tweet that Randy Orton's making an impact.
Randy Orton has a producer position waiting on him whenever he wants it.
That's a whole other mistake for next season. That's on some tweets you'll never see.
Randy Orton, that's a mixtape. There's the mixtape right there. Randy gonna be a floating guest speaker at NXT whenever he feels like
he'll come there, put on the clinic.
Drop a couple lines and leave. He ain't for that.
It's Randy's already bad enough.
Randy, hey, when William Regal decide to hang it up, Randy is the new NXT GM.
Yo, it's already bad enough that Randy, like, just because of him making amends with The Undertaker and by showing the world what happened 15 years ago, that he's now the Undertaker for the locker room since Undertaker is officially retired. That's already bad enough.
Who but really gonna run up on Randy Orton on some backstage?
Nobody like, better.
I ain't doing it.
But you also see that once the Undertaker's done in ring, I don't see him sticking around to like hold a clipboard and wear a tie.
Nah, he's not moving to Florida, man. His accent too thick. He's staying in Texas.
So I feel
Randy will show up.
Randy. Like
Randy will show up.
He'll be on the beach.
Randy had a tour bus. He'll be fine regardless.
I mean, where that's cool. I'm about 20 miles outside of there. Yeah, I'll show up tonight.
I swear to God, maybe I'm reading Randy the wrong way, but I feel like once he's done in the ring, that he'll be done with the day-to-day of WWE altogether. He'll still contribute. He'll still pop up every now and again, but like taking on a backstage role, like an Arn Anderson, a Fit Finley, those people, I don't see it.
Low key, I think he might because he got good game to give. And he's now at a point in his career where you're hearing more and more of him sharing that game with younger cats.
I don't think it's the issue of having the knowledge more so than it is the will to want to give it to the people that's around him.
No, for me thinking about it, it's more him doing it because he wants to, not because he's obligated to by contract.
This makes sense. So, and that's the thing. Like, while I say there's a producer position and waiting for him, I'm gonna keep it real with you. I kind of agree with you, Swat. I don't know that Randy would be the guy to do that. Like, Johnny Ace.
If he can come and go as he pleases, and basically do whatever he wants and kind of float around and drop knowledge when he's ready, not by obligation of a calendar, then absolutely he'll be involved in the business until the day he dies. But if you're expecting Randy to stop wrestling at some point and then assume the role of executive like Triple H, I don't necessarily know if that's his aim.
I don't know that he's ever going to stop wrestling.
Y'all ready for this?
Do you think?
Hey. You know who ain't gon' win. You know who ain't gon' win. You know who ain't gon' win. To say that bitch again. I know who ain't gon' win. You know who ain't gon' win. You know who ain't gon' win. We say that bitch again.
I won.
1, 2, 3.
Get your tail.
Said I won. 1, 2, 3.
Get the fuck on.
1, 2, 3.
Get your tail.
Said I won.
1, 2, 3.
Get the fuck gone.
Hey.
This segment is brought to you by Alberto Del Rio and the good people at King's Hawaiian Original Rolls. We love
that. Absolutely not. I ain't seen no type of deposit come through from Alberto Del Rio or El Patron. Congratulations on your exoneration, but fam, you got other stuff to tend to.
And please understand, if you got something to drop off for us on that tip,
price just went up.
You be.
Price just went up.
Now.
That's all I'm saying.
Now then, this coming Sunday, we lightweight don't care. But
what's happening this Sunday?
NXT War Games Takeover. Wait, NXT Takeover War Games 2020 is what's happening this Sunday.
I did not know why we were doing You Know Who Ain't Gonna Win.
First of all, I am against NXT pay-per-views on Sundays. They need to go back to Saturdays where they were.
When it makes sense.
It doesn't just make sense. It was a flavor to having a pay-per-view on a Saturday, on the late Saturday evening, early Saturday night. There's a flavor to it.
You don't let AEW just close out the market on Saturday pay-per-views. Like, what are we doing? I thought we was at war.
I thought we were fighting.
I thought we had a superior product. Guess we was wrong.
It's superior.
So, let's run down this card here real quick. Wrestler. For the NXT North American Championship, a triple threat match. Your champion, Leon Ruff, takes on Johnny Gargano and Damian Priest. Petty, please, tell us who ain't gonna win.
Leon Ruff.
Leon going over. Watch.
I hate to give you the buzzer, and I'm laughing because I want to say that, but I'm with Suave, man. I think Leon's going over.
Look, there's no reason why Punishment Martinez shouldn't walk out of here as champion.
There's every reason why, because he's been the foil that's held Johnny Gargano back since Leon Ruff has got the title. There's absolutely no reason to give it back to Gargano, and even though Priest needs it, Priest is going to be the reason why he don't get it.
Priest needs it.
Priest is the best talent involved in this match, period. He should be the champion, but because we're in a state of flux, we're just doing silly stuff and doing comedy angles, it's going to be Leon Ruff.
You put an L where it didn't belong, Suave, but I'll let you have it for the sake of editing.
I
put a who in the what?
An L where it didn't belong. You said a state of flux. Take that L out.
Man, I ain't putting nothing else in the scholarship fund until later on.
The crux of why I say Leon Ruff won't win is I don't know how long Triple H and company are going to run with the idea of a North American champion not being a real viable contender for the belt.
Well, WWE has never had the work rate champion be the next in line. Like, typically, it makes you the number one contender. Like, the U.S. belt back in the NWA days was the number one contender for the world belt. But you never saw them go head up while the U.S. champion was the champion, with the exception of Booker T and Scott Steiner, in which Booker T left Nitro with both belts. That's another conversation.
Keep it 1,000, though. Is the North American title actually the work rate belt of that brand? Because
no, they all are.
No, exactly. But for the longest, the NXT heavyweight champion, or the, just the NXT champion, because they're not all heavyweights, but the NXT champion would have the best match on the show almost every time.
Yeah, every single time. Yep.
Regardless of positioning, you're right.
So because of that, I feel like creatively they might be willing to experiment more with the secondary title, because the workhorse is already going to be champion.
Oh, but who is champ right now?
All that's coming up here. Strap match: Dexter Lumis versus Cameron Grimes. Petty, who ain't gonna win?
Cameron Grimes.
I agree with that. Not only do I agree with that, I say this match is only gonna last about 5 minutes.
Dexter Lumis is gonna actually mass murder someone on live TV.
I think Dexter Lumis is actually going to strap Cameron Grimes across the face.
He's going to assassinate this man with a leather strap. It's gonna happen.
I don't want that type of thing to happen. That could have irreparable. That could just you can't fix that shit.
No, you can't. Dexter Lumis is gonna choke him and then hit him with the strap.
I don't know. You fixed Rey Mysterio's eye. For the NXT Championship number one contender.
With a groaner.
Looking for three.
Boom, 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 boom.
Don't act like we don't have that.
See what I'm saying? Don't nobody want no parts of that. Like, come on, bro. This is the greatest luchador of all time. You gonna take his eye out?
Why? This ain't brother from outer space. You ain't gotta take his eye out.
You never explained why Seth Rollins was taking people's eyes out.
Yeah.
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
And it wasn't an eye for an eye, because he didn't lose one. Anyway, back, we on NXT. Number one contender championship for the championship in NXT, Tommaso Ciampa versus Kushida. Petty, please tell me who ain't gonna win, and be right with this one.
Tommaso Ciampa.
Ain't gonna win.
Wait. I thought Ciampa was wrestling Thatcher.
Unless something changed last night.
I thought they set the angle up last night.
Oh, then I need to get an updated card then. Look at
me, please. Johnny, don't have us predicting.
Johnny on the spot.
I mean,
it's people got COVID, might not be there.
Hey, I just showed up today. I didn't know what was going on. You can't put that on me.
Well, that sounds like the worst.
Oh, there you. So there you are. Absolutely right. So that is. Let me reboot here.
So I was right.
Number one contender for the NXT Championship: Tommaso Ciampa versus Timothy Thatcher. Petty Messiah, tell us who ain't going in.
Tommaso Ciampa.
Now I agree.
Yeah, I agree. So here's the issue I had with the previous match. Who did I say it was before? Kushida?
Kushida.
Kushida's on a downward spiral on his way out the E. He is. Let me put some money.
Anything that'll make you say.
Your theory
is to make him number one contender when he's on a downward spiral.
No. Let me quote the great Jay-Z. I heard a motherfucker saying they made Hove. Made Hove say, okay, so make another Hove. Kushida is now dressed as a killer, what Hideo Itami was when he went back to be Kenta.
Huh.
They just changed the names, but they gave him the exact same script.
That means Creative Services had an idea that they wanted executed. And
gone.
You guys are interchangeable, so you're gonna wear this shirt.
Hey, put this on. Okay, like, go out there.
There are so many examples of how terrible things have to operate up there. That
this ain't even my shirt.
We getting to the point we might. We getting to the point that Wood might owe ACH an apology.
And I've said that.
But now we're saying it to the people.
So, yeah, I mean, if I say anything more, I'm going to say it to ACH directly.
Facts.
Like, I'm going to call him. Let me just call him. Hey, man, what's up, dog?
Call him. He probably still in Austin. Call him.
Black man to black man. Nah, he's probably in Orlando right now, because he's about to be in on the Opera Cup for MLW.
Okay.
So, we'll have to catch up with him on that. Who else we got here? Dex Lumen? Oh, so the War Games matches. The women's war game match. Shotzi Blackheart, the captain, with Amber Moon, Rhea Ripley, and Io Shirai versus Candice LeRae's squad, which is her, Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez, and Toni Storm. Petty Messiah, who ain't gonna win?
Whatever team Dakota Kai is on.
We can just stop it right there. And then for the for your main event, the UE, which is Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Roger Strong, and Bobby Fish, all of them.
Oh.
Versus Pat McAfee, Pete Dunne, Danny Burch, and Oney Lorcan. Petty Messiah, tell us who ain't gonna win. Before you do, before you do that though, you Finn Balor is a champion.
Ray Finkel and his friends.
Wow, Ray Finkel.
Oh my God!
I give up.
Laces out.
We let you in. This is what happens when we do an afternoon show and we let you in.
See, that's great. Adam Cole needs to put that in a promo. McAfee, I'm going to kick your ass. Laces out.
Laces out.
And then you're going
to
walk
we
off.
We need to send a copy of this show to
you
him.
You see why I need to be in creative?
Hey, please believe.
I'm telling you, I just need to be a writer. It's
little quips like that as to why, hey, I need to have this pen. And jot down some creative or at least a couple of lines for you guys.
I just made it up right now. Catch promos. That's it.
Well,
Suave, check this out, Ray.
Suave, you just got your 60-second clip right there, and I'm leaving all this in.
That's what he said.
Hey.
Look, I'm a happily married man. I don't cancel your mama. I don't. I'm not for the lady. I'm not for the lady nonsense with you.
So, Petty, again, tell us who ain't going to win on this one. UE versus Pat McAfee squad. Squad.
I already said who ain't going to win.
Guys in ties?
Ray Finkel and crew. Yep.
Why do I feel like looking at the video package, of course, the Team WWE production, undefeated. They put together this package chronicling the UE and everything they've been through, getting to this point, like just being the new age Four Horsemen. Why do I feel like they're setting up for like one of them to defect?
Yeah.
It seems like Bobby Fish is either going to defect, or it also seems like Finn Balor is going to lead one of these.
I feel like O'Reilly. If anybody's going to defect, I feel like it's O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Strong would be the one to defect.
No.
He's the last one in.
He had to prove himself the most.
Who's had the most drastic cosmetic change over the last 6 months? Who looks more like a breakout single star than the rest?
Bobby Fish.
O'Reilly?
Bobby Fish to me.
I say because Bobby O'Reilly. Fish ain't been on TV because he
Bobby Fish been eating fish sandwiches.
Well, okay. In terms of appearance, Bobby Fish fits that mold. But in terms of overall
how
work,
much fish could Bobby Fish fry if Bobby Fish could fry fish?
Don't do that.
Apparently, a lot.
It's like an ugly term.
I'm just saying, no, like that's Matt. Don't quote me. That's Matt Riddle.
Figured that much.
But I'm just saying, like, I mean, I can see where that would make sense for you. Bobby Fish is a potential choice. I'm just saying, in my mind, if someone's going to defect, it looks like it would be Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, Kyle O'Reilly's had the most breakout singles push of anybody in the UA in the UE in the last 6 months to a year. Easy. Like, it's not even a question. Just the fact that over 30, he had that match with Finn Balor that basically injured both of them.
Right. Broke Balor's jaw.
Broke his body. I mean, like, yeah.
But at the same time, Kyle O'Reilly looks, his physical appearance, his cosmetic makeup looks different than it did 3-4 months ago. Like, he looks like a different person from the last time the Undisputed Era had the tag team titles. He looks like a completely different person. That's usually the earmarkings of someone about to switch it up.
Yeah. So let's fast forward here. Getting away from NXT. We didn't watch
title match.
No title match. Just war games.
What?
Get out of here.
This is another. I guess Balor might still be hurt, honestly.
I mean, you gotta let the jaw heal.
Yeah. That's not something that
they both tried to kill each other.
I mean, because you can either fall into it, you can get thrown into something with, and or get like a straight punch. Either way, like those are things that's gonna all hurt that contraption that's now in his mandible. So yeah, he needs to heal. Also, last night AEW had their version of Clash of Champions. Winter is coming. They were building it for weeks as the biggest AEW card in history. We had MJF and Orange Cassidy be the last for the diamond, the Dynamite Diamond Ring in Battle Royal. So they'll take on each other next week for the Dynamite Diamond Ring, what have you. Jericho and Hager. Jericho and Frankie Kazarian went one-on-one. You had Hager and Ortiz at ringside, which after the match turned into a whole just nonsense with the Inner Circle. And now next week, if the Inner Circle can't get along, they disband forever. So there's an ultimatum that happens next week on AEW Dynamite. We also saw nothing with Dr. Britt Baker.
So what is it about these AEW stipulations that every time they make a decision, it's like forever? Like, do they have some obsession with the Sandlot?
Yeah. Forever.
Like Cody can't challenge for the AEW title forever.
The Young Bucks
can never challenge for the tag titles
forever.
If we don't come get on the same page, the Inner Circle is gonna break up forever.
Jesus.
I don't. What is this about?
I don't know.
Forever.
It'd be different if somebody were actually leaving or had an option to leave the organization, but no one's left yet. So
I don't want to see this stipulation ever again. Forever.
Two huge things coming out of last night. Pause. Darby Allin and Cody Rhodes defeated Team Taz, which was represented by Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs. After the match, we saw Absolute Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs be joined by... What's the Wellness Monster? What's my man Brian Cage?
Jesus, Swolverine.
We were talking about mandibles and
Swolverine. No. Allegedly, Swolverine comes out and saves the day for these guys. Here comes Dustin Rhodes, and Arn Anderson actually gets physically involved. As Powerhouse Hobbs is about to hit Cody Rhodes in the face with the FTW Championship.
In the face!
Lights go dark. Snow comes out. Here comes a black trench coat, white face paint with black streaks. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the man called Sting. In AEW, on TNT for the first time in 18 years, almost 19, Sting on TNT last night. Fellas, your thoughts on Sting popping up on TV again post WWE?
Good pickup for AEW. Solid talent acquisition. From what I've read, he's not supposed to be doing any in-ring wrestling whatsoever, but he is on a regular schedule, so you will see him on a reoccurring basis. I feel like this is probably the key to unlocking Darby Allin as a major talent for them. Like, he's going to be their first homegrown star.
YFN Darby, man. Listen, I can't say enough about
YFN,
him.
YFN, buddy.
YFN. You got it right.
I mean, like, you have that kind of story on the indies. And every indie wrestling show that's come on mainstream television, he's been a part of. And now he's part of AEW. And so to call him a homegrown star is almost a slight, but at the same time, he deserves it because he's single-handedly made people pay attention to AEW for the smaller size talent that they have, because he's been there with heavyweights just constantly.
Well, when I say homegrown, I get for Darby.
You. I get you.
Yeah, but for those who are not indoctrinated, it's more so the fact he hadn't been anywhere else on a national scale to get the exposure that he's been getting since he's been in AEW. He's one of the very few that the first time you saw him on television, it was for AEW, and he's become bigger since then. The other one would be like somebody like Jack Perry, Jungle Boy Jack Perry, or Jungle Buck. Cody's been in WWE. He's been on Impact. Same thing for the Young Bucks. They've been on Impact, Ring of Honor. Kenny Omega made his name in Japan. You know, XYZ. So when I say homegrown talent, it is talent whose pushes and whose career originates. Ground zero for them is AEW.
Yeah, got you. Totally with that. Off the heels of last night, it's been reported that Sting has also broken the Pro Wrestling Tees record for the most shirts sold in 24 hours.
That makes sense.
And he broke that record 12 hours in.
I mean, it totally makes sense, but at the same time, just the cynic in me says, okay, what was the old record? Open the books.
who had this record? Was it non-existent?
You feel me? You feel me? Like, what was the old record?
You got me with the Jim Neidhart laugh.
Roman Reigns? Like, I don't know.
He doesn't have any stuff on Pro Wrestling Tees. Pro Wrestling Tees is...
Non-WWE.
Yeah, so everything that isn't WWE, that's where it goes.
Moxley.
I would probably say CM Punk at All Out. Or All In, rather.
Maybe
that might have been it if I had to place a bet on it.
Hogan's got merchandise on there. Bullet Club has merchandise.
Bullet Club shirts. I don't know if they broke it 24. I think Bullet Club might have the all time lead in terms of
quite possible.
because their push from Pro Wrestling Tees is what got them in the Hot Topic and whatever the other t shirt shop is in the mall.
Yeah, because I remember Cody's American Nightmare tee was kind of hot for a while, but certainly not in a 24-hour period. But I would like to know, you know, open the books, be a little more transparent. Who had the previous record, and what was that number?
Yeah, that's something for the crack research team here at the Broken Missile Book Company Pro Wrestling Podcast and radio show infused with hip-hop. Ending the night, we had Kenny Omega versus champion Jon Moxley for the AEW World Championship. On commentary, we had Executive Vice President of Impact Wrestling, Don Callis. We mentioned him about 4 weeks ago at the pay-per-view Full Gear, and we also toyed with the idea of a talent swap. We also made mention of the idea of possibly getting, you know, more of Orlando involved with Jacksonville to a degree. And we have a new AEW World Champion, Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega is now the third AEW champion ever. And they run off to a black SUV. And the last words you hear from Don Callis is, "We'll see you on Tuesday on Impact on Access TV."
Marvez says, "No, we're on Wednesdays."
Impact on Access.
You'll see me at Impact.
The AEW World Heavyweight Champion, Kenny Omega, will be on Access TV next Tuesday on Impact with that belt. This is something that we've never thought we would ever say or hear, but these are things that we've toyed around with here at the BPBC.
True. This is the most interesting shit they've done.
Go ahead
and put some money in the scholarship fund. Yeah, this is the most interesting thing they've done.
I'm going to give you a few of those. And I'm also going to hit you with maybe one of these.
Price just went up.
And you go.
Absolutely. And the reason you're hitting us with that price just went up, for the longest on this program, the Broken Pencil Booking Company Pro Wrestling Podcast and Radio Show, infused with hip hop, available on all of your digital streaming platforms at Broken Pencil BC on everything.
Everything.
Everything. We have been telling you, suggesting to you, dropping little bits of knowledge and hints that the way for AEW and all of these non-WWE entities to survive, thrive, and potentially become greater than what they are is to unify.
Work together.
You have to reestablish the territory system. Here it is. Vince was the Thanos of the territory wrestling system. In 2020 and beyond, the reformation of a territory style system, considering how wrestling is distributed in 2020, that can be the end of, well, I don't want to say the end of Thanos, but that could be the end game.
So right now we have WWE, which also holds Evolve, which also holds NXT UK, which also holds what's the other UK organization? That's not ICW. There's something over in the UK. I forgot what it was. There's also NXT.
Progress.
Thank you. On this side of the coin, though, anything that's not WWE related, you're going to have AEW,
right?
Impact, MLW, right. ROH, right. And right. We've toyed around with this. And we didn't think about it. We also missed this segment about 6 episodes back, but we'll talk about it briefly here. There have been a lot of New Japan name drops in the last few weeks, especially last night.
And New Japan has altered their leadership.
And New Japan, which has altered their leadership. That the top is gone. And that the person who was the biggest roadblock and the possibility of AEW doing business with New Japan and a talent swap is the person who's no longer in power at New Japan.
Yes, they have they kicked out their old president, who was really one of the main factors in blocking an AEW in New Japan relationship. He's gone. So
I mean, there are possibilities of dream matches beyond compare. Rumors of Davey Boy Smith Jr. signing with AEW. We have confirmation that Brian Pillman Jr. is already there, as he's actually in the tag team now with Griff. What's Griff's last? Griff Garrison. ROH has Final Battle coming up, in which you have EC3 taking on what's my man from them boys, the Briscoe.
Which Briscoe, Jay or Mark?
Jay.
Aha.
Yes. These are the types of things that we can actually see on AEW TV. Brody King and Shane Taylor, they tied it up. So Jay Lethal could possibly end up on AEW television.
Mike, enter promotional nonsense. I want all of it. I'm here for this.
Mike Bennett is back in ROH. He could show up on AEW television.
I like all of this.
Numerous possibilities, though. I mean, no one has really seen them boys on a larger scale. Hell, if we get New Japan, that means we could possibly get the guy, GODs, the Gorillas of Destiny.
Yeah.
On AEW television.
Here's the thing, the other one that I saw that got tweeted out last night, it was something that we actually brought up when we were kind of making kind of fantasy booking some type of cross promotional pollination type stuff. FTR versus the North.
Yep. Swab brought that up, and Dax Harwood just actually tweeted out simply after AEW Dynamite last night, simply two words: the North.
So okay, here's my question: after seeing that tweet saying that basically FTR is like, we want the North, Kenny Omega is going to show up on Impact, Don Callis is obviously going to have more of an on camera role in some sort of antagonist situation, are we about to see a better laid out version of the Invasion?
This looks more like a well budgeted version of what should have been between USWA and World Class than it does the WCW Invasion, because the WCW Invasion included talent that was technically already owned by WWE, and they used BC level talent and had one A-lister, and no one knew he was an A-lister then, and that's in Booker T.
Which is why I said like a better version of the Invasion, because the WCW Invasion was essentially like, we're going to do this so that we can finally prove in terms of what we show to the fans that WWE is the superior product.
Right now what we're seeing is the reverse of an Invasion, because you have a champion from organization A going to organization B with said championship, and the executive vice president of that organization not even acknowledging his own champion. Right?
Like, I love this for the fact that it just gives so many different options, because Kenny's already a champion in AAA. He's now AEW World Heavyweight Champion. Who's to say that he doesn't end up on Tuesday and become Belt Collector and beat Rich Swann?
I mean, who better to become a Belt Collector than the actual World Heavyweight Champion? On a network that has a national outlet, like a multinational push, like TNT.
I mean, yeah. Now I'm not the biggest Kenny Omega fan, personality wise. I'm cool. I feel like I would rank Seth Rollins higher as far as an in ring performer. But in this situation, if he becomes Belt Collector or anything similar to it, it would justify all of those other articles that came out about him during the whole New Japan run, the Sports Illustrated, all of that other stuff. If he starts living up to that level of press by doing this, I'm 100% in support of it.
I'm in support of it regardless, because this is something that we have not seen. Like, we...
That part. Give me some excitement. Man, blow up some...
Major organizations, major heads of major organizations on, like, doing good business that turns into bad business on live television. We have never seen that in this business. This is something that we can say that we've never seen, and that... Now our kids that are watching this now have an idea of what it was like to watch wrestling in the 80s. And even still, we didn't see anything like this. This is what we wanted in the 80s, and we're getting it now. I'm here for it. I'm ready for it. I think this is going to be an exciting time the next few months, because typically nothing happens in the fall, let alone the winter. We're going into Royal Rumble season, and we're not even talking about WWE. Not to mention TLC is next week, too. We're not even talking about that.
Once you find out what Roman's doing, then we'll talk about it.
and as soon as Jimmy comes back.
Find me some plans for the Hurt Business. We'll talk about it. I only want to talk about the good stuff.
Yeah, man. Let's see. That's a good stopping point. We'll catch back up next week and figure out what happened and see how good it is or how good it isn't. Petty Messiah, you got something for me?
I'm here.
And he's out.
That's it.
Suave. Speaking of Royal Rumble season, how could I mention the Royal Rumble and not cut the music down for this? The creator of the Royal Rumble, the very first Intercontinental Champion, who won the belt at Phantom Tournament in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, Pat Patterson, has passed away at the age of 79. We'd like to send our condolences to his friends and family, and We'll end out with a 10-bell salute in honor of the late great Pat Patterson, one of the sharper minds in the business over the years, and definitely someone that has put his stamp on WWE over the last 40 years. So, rest in peace, Pat Patterson. Suave, take us to the house.
Suavetoberfest 2, Super Suavetoberfest Plus, all DSPs.
Suaveformayor.com. Suave4mayor.com.
The number 4, not the word 4. Pencil pushers. Heads up. Pencils down.
The Broken Pencil Booking Company, a pro wrestling podcast infused with hip hop. Available on all streaming platforms, including TheBeastRadio.com.